south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. You know, I've stayed in all kinds of hotels and bed and breakfasts, even motels, and even once, without knowing what I was getting myself into, I stayed in what they call auto hotels here in Latin America, which look just like hotels up in the States, budgetels and such, except they're set up for 1 or 2 hour rendezvous with mistresses, secretaries, or just lovers who can't get any privacy because the husband or wife's in the way. So that's their main purpose, but they're also a good safe place to crash if you're traveling and don't know the area. And they're set up so much like motels, we think they're just a Latin version of the same thing we have up in the States until we see the volume of the traffic, with cars going in and out of those individual stalls about every hour or so. Really weird. Now, aside from what you might think, those auto hotels are pretty clean inside. So if you're on a long drive through Latin America and you don't know the area and are loaded down with stuff, let's say you're moving things from one place to another, you have to sleep somewhere, and that's a place that'll be absolutely safe. And of course, totally anonymous, because when you pull in, you don't see anyone that's working there. You go up to a window and press a button, and then a slot opens, and you pay for an hour or 4 hours or 24 hours. And how do I know all this? Well, once I was in that deep, dark, dank, dusty city of Tegucigalpa, Honduras, in a really bad area, and it was getting late in the afternoon, and you don't want to be driving at night. Not in a place you're unfamiliar with, anyway. All of a sudden, I saw a nice auto hotel. You see them pop up here and there in various neighborhoods, good and bad, and they look halfway decent. Or I should say, close enough to a budgetel to make you think, well, you know, it's along the same lines. As a matter of fact, I've gotten a few emails from gringos and expats driving around in Latin America telling me the very same thing. They say, Johnny, if you want something safe and secure and you just have to get some sleep, pull into one of those auto hotels and everything will be just fine. But once you check in and walk into the room, you note something very strange. There's a jacuzzi in the main room right next to the bed. Now, that's not something you see every day, huh? And there's a coin-operated slot near the bed that makes it vibrate. Not to mention a couple of different big-screen TVs, mirrored ceiling. You get the idea. Oh, and there's the bed that has a coin slot that makes it vibrate. Just like a bad B-movie, huh? Yeah, at first it's a bit creepy, but if you're really tired and it's a dead of night, you can always hit one of those auto hotels and drop 20 or 25 bucks and get a nice 6 to 8 hours of sleep. That is, provided you can calm yourself and not let your imagination run wild as to what's happening in the rest of that place. Now, speaking of motels, hotels, Airbnbs, and bed and breakfast, I remember my mother telling me a long time ago that you can judge the quality of a hotel or motel by the grade or general fluffiness of the TP they use in the bathrooms. Now, if there's one product in this world where you absolutely get exactly what you pay for, that's toilet paper. Now, you know toilet paper comes in like 50 different grades, from sandpaper to the extra plus Charmin, right? Actually, I prefer the novelty stuff, you know, with George Bush, Hillary, or Obama's face printed on it. That way you can do your duty and make a statement at the same time. Now, that said, and we won't dwell on it, you can always tell the quality of a hotel by the grade of toilet paper they use. In fact, that's pretty much true of all businesses that have public bathrooms, including bars and restaurants. By the way, whoever created the idea, who knows how many decades ago, of having toilet paper delineated by perforated 4 or 5 inch squares. Man, that guy was a dreamer, huh? Unless maybe he lived in Venezuela. In fact, my grandma, an old farm lady, she had a big old house with a guest bathroom on the main floor. She used to buy the good stuff, you know, the plush Charmin, and put it in the guest room. But for the rest of the house, the people that lived there, she bought what was on sale. And I've noticed there's a lot of that going around here in Latin America, too. For example, when you go into an upper middle class or wealthy Latin's home, they'll have the guest room tricked out with the good stuff. However, if you take a peek into the maid's quarters, you know, the cuarto de servicio, you'll see the maids generally got the sandpaper stuff. Doesn't hardly seem fair or right, but this is Latin America, and definitely a very classist society. You can't change it. It's not easy to get used to. The only thing you can do is not buy into it. By the way, it's always my recommendation when you're driving around through Latin America to have a little emergency kit / bug out bag. I'm talking a real small one. In your car or in your backpack, they call a backpack a mochila down here, by the way. And in that, along with a change of clothes and stuff and toiletries, I also suggest two pairs of gloves, a set of rubber gloves, and a set of gardener's cloth gloves, just in case you get a flat, your car breaks down, you got to go under the hood or even pump gas. Then there'll be those times you're driving out in the boonies and you'll pass a mango or an avocado tree or a lemon tree. You'll jump out, climb up, pick a few, scrape your hands, and really wish you had some gloves. And if you ever play the Good Samaritan, and I've done that a few times, you'll wish you had some gloves. Like the other day when I helped a distraught farmer help to move his injured cow out of the middle of the road. Say what? Hey, Dorothy, who says we're not in Kansas anymore? What an experience. Only in Latin America. So, how'd that happen? Well, I was driving down a country road about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's just starting to get a tiny bit dark, and I noticed there's one of those Suzuki sidekicks stalled right in the middle of the road. Now, this is a road that doesn't have too many cars on it. One will go by maybe every minute or so. And it's a road that has a lot of farms on either side of it, so you'll see cows and horses and sometimes a big old ox crossing the road. Most often, all by their lonesome. No farmer there to lead them around. Anyway, I slowed down, pulled up to the Suzuki sidekick. The front end was bashed and was glass all over the ground. And about 50 feet further down the road, I didn't see this at first, but there was a cow sprawled out right on the center line. Actually, there was no center line. There rarely is. Just sitting there, bleeding a bit, and it didn't want to move. And the farmer was standing there too. So I gave him a hand, tried to help him get the cow up. It sort of stumbled over to the curbside in pain. I did my part, stuck around a while, gave the farmer my condolences because I'm sure they'd have to put it down, and I left. And the driver of that Suzuki sidekick, well, he learned his lesson that day. Nobody wins when you hit a cow. He was going way too fast, I'm sure. And the cow shouldn't have been walking down the center of the highway either. But this is Latin America and those things happen and there's no one to sue. And I'll tell you, man, did those gardener's gloves come in handy. Not to mention a pair of old hiking boots I always keep in the back of my car for just such an occasion. Oh, and by the way, along with a glass liter booze bottle filled with pure water that I purify, of course, with my own filter system, I have a gallon plastic jug of purified water, too, usually in the trunk, not for drinking purposes, for just an occasion like that when you're way out in the boonies and you have to wash up a bit or clean something off. Like, for example, in the case of the cow, poo and other vital body parts stuck to the bottom of my boots that I wouldn't want to track back into the car. So, being of German stock and learning the lessons of my grandmother and mother, I'm a guy who's more prepared than most when I'm on the road. Oh, and not to mention, I always carry one of those tiny fold-up umbrellas in the car, too, for not only the rainy season, but oftentimes, if you drive a lot and you're going from city to city, you'll see an event that's not publicized. You don't know anything about it. You might not even know the town. And all of a sudden, the road will be blocked off. There'll be a parade, an event, a fashion show. Could be anything. A dance, a race, a horse auction. Sometimes it's worth getting out of your car and having a look. And man, let me tell you, if you're standing in the sun for more than a half hour down here in Latin America, I don't care where you are, Altiplano or not, even if the weather's a perfect 72 degrees, the sun is extremely hot and penetrating, especially in the Altiplano. So if you're used to getting a tan up in the States in 45 minutes with an SPF 10 sunblocker, well, down here, if you have light skin like mine, in 15 or 20 minutes you could turn into a painful red lobster, which is why I always carry a tube of SPF 30 or greater in the back of my car in my bug out bag. Oh, and I've got two kinds of bug repellent in there too. I've got the organic kind, you know, that's all natural and oh so gentle to the environment, made out of extra virgin orange peels and lowland pomegranate pits, whatever they put in that stuff. And I always have on hand some of that real heavy-duty synthetic stuff, the backwoods and jungle mega DEET. You know, the kind that routinely gives a frog an extra pair of legs. However, I find, you know, I almost never have to use the nasty synthetic stuff, unless I'm at or near sea level by a body of water, river, stream, or woods. And even so, I almost never have to use that stuff during the day, only at dusk or into the night. Now, since I'm mostly hanging in the Altiplano, I almost never have to use any kind of bug repellent at all. Now, that's not to say when I'm in the Altiplano near a big stand of trees or water or a stream, I don't use bug spray at all. Sometimes I do. However, I almost never have to use the heavy-duty stuff because in the Altiplano, there's very few man-eating insects around. Oh, and funny enough, no one seems to be mentioning the Zika virus anymore. By the way, I know of absolutely no one, I'm talking zero people, who've been victims of it or have been affected by it. That includes tourists, visiting gringos, expats, and local Latins. So as for contracting the Zika virus, it seems to be affected. You have to be poor, living in the lowlands, close to a body of water or the jungle, and it helps to be living in a laminate shack with no glass windows or screens. So as it turns out, my favorite place in the Altiplano, it's not the preferred habitat for annoying bugs or creatures who want to get a piece of you or want to suck your blood. So I've got the heavy-duty DEET stuff to use at sea level, and believe me, I'm against using that synthetic stuff as much as you are, but hey, it's us or them, right? Now, I know there's the alternative of eating a lot of garlic. Millions of odoriferous health-conscious people are doing that. Of course, garlic is not selective about who and what it repels, so if you're like me, I have a hard time being up front and in the face of people who do a lot of garlic. Yes, I understand it does have tremendous benefits, but is it worth it? Well, maybe if you want to close the book on the mating, dating, and romance portion of your life, who knows? Now, speaking of cows and critters on the road, you have to really keep your eyes open when you're driving a car. Which means keep off the iPhone, right? Will you? I doubt it. Because the simple fact is that when you're out in the boonies, even in the city, you'll see animals walking alongside and in roads with and without their owners. Not just small cats, squirrels, and dogs either. I'm talking about big ones that can wreck your car and your day. You know, farmers often leave their animals out at night and hitch them to posts and trees. Or they don't hitch them to anything at all, so they wander. Yep, it's a common sight. You'll see a goat or a cow or a horse asleep on the side of the road or tied to a tree or just moseying along the highway at 10 o'clock at night. But where were we? Oh, yeah, we were talking about that bug-out bag you might want to have in your car. Wait, maybe that's the wrong word, bug-out, because you're not using it to bug out. It's just kind of a resource bag. That said, you should have a couple of standard plastic grocery store bags. Because if you're like me and a lot of expats, you'll probably have some fruits and some food in the car you'll be snacking on. That can get pretty sticky and messy, especially when you're dealing with the very ripe stuff. Now, if you think this is not worth mentioning, try eating a big old watermelon while you're driving your car. I've done it. There are people selling musk melons, honeydew melons, and watermelons, all kinds of melons on the side of the road all year round. And if you don't have a plastic bag or two, look out. And of course, you'll want a couple of utility towels and those all-important wipes. Yes, wipes. They're cheap and they'll save you a lot of grief. There's a million and one uses for those things. Oh, and you know, I always carry some basic security items with me when I'm traveling too. I know. There are a million different security items out there and whole websites devoted to that stuff as if it was a science. And maybe it is. But you know, after being down here 27 years now and being robbed twice, last time 20 years ago, by the way, you wonder how I got through the last 20 years without getting nicked once. Well, it's all about awareness of keeping out of the zones and places that are kind of dangerous and pretty much blending in as much as you can when you're a blue-eyed, light-skinned, tall guy like me. So as far as finding those secure areas, the places you want to live, work, play, and or do business, or even retire, just check out the local news media. And of course, they'll report all the crimes. I mean, that's news, right? If it bleeds, it leads. Well, jot down or keep a mental note of the areas, the districts, and the neighborhoods where most all of those crimes occur. And you'll find out there is a definite pattern. And soon you'll be able to piece together the areas you just don't want to go and hang out. You'll see right away that 95% of all the crimes occur in certain neighborhoods, and those are the ones you want to stay away from. And that's how you'll be able to sort out the many very safe and nice places to live, work, play, and or hang out in Latin American towns and cities too. So anyway, I've whittled down my own personal security items, you know, the ones I carry with me practically everywhere. I've always got them in my car anyway. So I've culled my collection down to just a handful of very useful yet inexpensive items. And I've made a short PowerPoint presentation out of it. And I use that PowerPoint presentation when we discuss security items at my Expat Insider Seminar, and everyone gets a copy of that presentation too to source all those items. So, you know, you can really overbuy on that security stuff and have a big bag of junk to haul along with you. Or you can take advice from a guy like me who's off the tourist trail, traveling around Latin America all the time, and who hasn't been robbed in 20 years. Knock on wood, huh? Actually, I've told this story about the two times I got robbed in past shows, so just check out the archives. Though, looking back, both times, I really was a clueless gringo, and I wouldn't let that happen again. So, if you come to my July 2017 Expat Insider Seminar, you'll see my security bag and setup, and I'll give you a PowerPoint so you can get that stuff yourself. So, how do you sign up for that seminar? Just go to www.thenewexpat.com and click on Johnny's 2017 seminar link, and you're there. And you've got until June 1st to sign up and still get the early bird discount. After that, the price goes up $500 for singles and for couples. So as of the date when this show goes out, you got about a month to sign up and still get in on the early bird discount. And note, when you click on the seminar link at the newexpat.com website, you'll also get some very complete information on how to kill two birds with one stone. That is, get your Guatemalan residency started while you're down here at the seminar. And you'll get that information about the famous John Galt pre- and post-seminar trips, too. You'll need all that info to set your travel dates. And just a little warning here, if you plan on coming down to the seminar and applying for permanent or temporary residency on the same trip, it takes about a month for you to get all your paperwork gathered and stamped and sealed and authorized up in the States. So it's highly recommended that you sign up for the seminar no later than June 1st. That'll give you a whole month and a week, actually, to get the paperwork done. And then hand it off to our seminar lawyer, and he gets the process going before you ever get down. In other words, if you decide to sign up for the seminar a week or two before it commences, chances are you won't be able to apply for residency when you're down on the seminar trip because you'll have to deal with the slowness of the government slugs at the embassy and the back and forth of paperwork in the U.S. mail. However, you can really speed up the process if you live very close to a big city that has a consulate. Then you can walk in and get that paperwork done in a day or two. But most people don't live in a big city with a Guatemalan consulate. So in order to give yourself some breathing room, you should sign up for the seminar at least by June 1st. Now, if you just can't come to the seminar or get boots on the ground in Latin America yet, the very next best thing to do in lining your ducks up for your own plan B is to take my Expat Essentials video course. Just go to expatplanb.com, all one word, and get the first three introductory videos free. Now, like I mentioned in the last show, I'm doing more and more Plan B phone consultations. And you know, you can sign up for a one-on-one, half-hour or hour personal phone consultation with me to figure out the details of your own Plan B and work out the best strategies. And the cool thing is, now you can go to www.thenewexpat.com and download my phone consultation questionnaire and guidelines to help you better organize your thoughts before we actually get on the phone together. Again, do check out that Plan B questionnaire. You know, Jen Galt just put it up on the newexpat.com website. It should give you some really good ideas about your own Plan B, I'm sure. How about a fun little boots on the ground story? You know, the other day, I was in one of these little tiendas, and I recognized the new guy behind the counter. A guy I'd see around town in the back of a big yellow garbage truck. You know, they do have garbage service here in Latin America. It's private, not city or municipal, and you'll generally pay $5 or $10 a month for the service. So there will be times when you'll be driving and you'll be right behind one of these trucks. And man, the way they overload those things, you just have to see it to believe it. But I can tell you, the three or four guys hanging on back there, even in their dirty, raggedy outfits, they're always laughing and having a good old time. By the way, it's standard down here for them to come twice or three times a week, just like garbage men used to do way back when in the 50s, 60s, and 70s up in the States. At least that's what it was like back in Chicago. And back then, you'd get mail every day too, but I don't think that's true anymore in the States, is it? And again, if you live in a gated, guarded subdivision, the garbage truck will come in two or three times a week. A decent arrangement, right? But here's the kicker. I recognize this guy who's now working at the little tienda, and I said, hey, you used to be a garbage man, right? And down here, there's no shame in being a garbage man. A job's a job, and it's a steady job, too. He said, yes, I was a garbage man. It was a fun job, actually. I said, yeah, well, now you're not working there anymore. At least this is a lot cleaner job. He says, yeah, my sister owns this place, and it's less money, but the rainy season's coming, and you don't know what it's like on the garbage truck during the rain. Well, I can imagine. Then I told him, you know, we just changed garbage companies in our subdivision because There were rumors going around that the garbage men were stealing things. Construction materials, ladders, tools, etc. And he said, yeah, there's always a bad guy or two in a garbage crew. He said, the problem is, one bad guy in the crew will try to convince the rest of the crew to go along with them, and most of the times they do. In fact, he says he once quit a garbage crew because the driver, the head guy, had a deal going with one of the maintenance guys in a guarded community. The maintenance guy was a thief who'd steal things from construction sites and hide them, and then the garbage truck would come by. We'd put it in the truck covered with garbage, and the guards at the gate would never check the back. I mean, we're just a garbage truck, right? Well, he said, I transferred off that crew and went to another because it looked like this crew was going to get in big trouble. And then he said, you know, in gated guarded communities, you're really safe. No one's going to break into your house, but if you leave a bike outside or some tools or a rake or a hose or an extension cord or a nice extension ladder, it's usually a two-man operation. It's the guard working with the maintenance guy or the maintenance guy working with the garbage man or one of the gardeners or fontaneros. That's the guy that's in charge of the well or water supply for the subdivision. And usually, the big gated guarded communities have a lot of common space, wooded areas, empty lots. So they'll have one or two employees called chapeadores. They're the guys with the machetes that keep the lots cut down to size and trim overgrown bushes and trees. And of course, these guys and everyone who works around the subdivision see things. In fact, in various subdivisions I've lived in, I've had workers come out and tell me who they don't trust. And that's good to know, and the word gets around with the neighbors, and everyone's got their eye out for that person. So there are just a few bad apples and a lot of honest people out there. So gated guarded communities are definitely safe, but when you're living in a regular community, middle or even upper middle class Latin style, if no one's home for a long time, houses will occasionally get broken into. And how do you think the thieves select those houses? There are garbage men, and he knew a few of them, he said, who'd make a note of what kind of trash and boxes were put out on the curb. So if someone bought a nice new computer or flat screen TV, they'd leave the box outside. The garbage man would pass that information on to the neighborhood no good nicks, and that just might be the next house that gets robbed. Usually on a long holiday weekend like Christmas, New Year's, and Easter, when the majority of middle-class Latin Americans head out for the beach or the relatives out in the boonies. So the lesson there, of course, is if you're not living in a gated, guarded community, watch what kind of junk you put out in the garbage. Kind of reminds you of first world city living, doesn't it? So then what about cameras and security systems? Well, they're cheap and dirty now, even high-definition ones, so I always recommend having a couple of cameras around the house, if not to keep your maintenance and gardener and your maid on their toes all the time. Because although most Latin people are the good, hard-working, salt-of-the-earth sort, when the cat's away and even when he's not, there's always temptation. Because you have infinitely more things and disposable income than the average Latin does. In fact, I've heard many gringas tell me, you know, Johnny, I love my cleaning lady, my maid, but I think she's stealing my makeup. Well, thank God I don't have that problem. However, if I was a maid on the take, that's what I'd go for. Now, most ladies I know have collections of that stuff. Dozens and dozens of jars and tubes on countertops, sinks, and dressers, not to mention what's below the bathroom sink that either passed its expiration date, if those dates are to be believed. I think it's just a marketing ploy to buy more myself. Then there are all those jars and tubes of makeup that are out of fashion. But women never seem to throw any of that stuff away. I know most first world ladies will never use another person's makeup or lipstick, right? Well, anyway, they shouldn't. But you know, you've all got a ton of old used makeup you never use. It's a great gift to give your cleaning lady or any of the chicken bus riding Latinas in your vicinity. For them, one gringa told me, it's like Christmas come early. More than a few gringa expats have told me they suspect their cleaning lady has sticky fingers for such stuff. That and disposable razors, by the way. One gringa mentioned, every time she buys a 5-pack of Lady Gillette razors, one by one they start disappearing. Now, you might remember in a past show I mentioned a lot of people will check the cleaning lady on the way out. Their purses, their pockets. In Spanish, they call that arrivisar, arrivisar. Now, believe me, at first, it's quite embarrassing. You don't really want to say, open your purse or let me check your pockets. But a lot of cleaning ladies will just automatically open their purses on the way out. A habit, no doubt, left over from a previous Latina employer boss lady who insisted on it. They all do. But do understand that us gringos and gringa expats are much more lenient. We just don't like to pat down the help, too much like the TSA, you know. So few of us do it. Though most gringos and gringas have cleaning ladies. Single gringos and gringas with apartments or houses usually have a part-time cleaning lady, never a live-in type. It's families with kids that usually have the live-ins. Because, you know, if you have kids, it's a never-ending battle to keep the place from becoming a dump. Now, I have to tell you, very few expat gringos I know check the purse of their cleaning lady on the way out. If, however, the circumstance arises that you hire a new cleaning lady, and on her way out the first day she opens up her purse as if it's expected for you to go through it, well, you don't have to stick your hand in there. Just give it a cursory look and wave her off. And of course, if things really do go missing, are you going to fire her when she's just under suspicion? Is that when you're going to introduce the arrivisar plan, you know, check her on the way out? I find most gringos and gringas are very reluctant to do that. Instead, that's where the magic of the surveillance camera comes in. Like I said, they're cheap and dirty and clear these days, and they record too. So you just set up a couple of those things around the house, and voila! Your maintenance man, cleaning lady, or workers around the house are instantly on their best behavior. So will there be petty thievery? Yes, there'll still be some of that, but surveillance cameras will keep that to an absolute minimum. I've got cameras. I've seen it for myself. The cameras also showed me how my cleaning lady pilfers fruit, laundry detergent, and peanut butter. That's mantequilla de maní. That's peanut butter. So do you fire someone who's been stealing detergent and dipping into your peanut butter jar? Well, if you're a newbie 100% anal first world gringo, probably yes. But like expat Eddie said, and he's in the bar and restaurant business, there'll always be pilfering, but you'll cut down on 95% of it if you have a few strategically placed cameras. Oh, and here's one that's good for a laugh. One gringo lady told me that she was in the habit of checking her cleaning lady's purse when she left every day. She was very cursory about it. She'd just stick her hand in real quick, sweep it around, and pull it out and say, okay, go ahead. Never even looked in. Well, one day she did it and pulled her hand out quickly. It was filled with goop. Turned out, her young cleaning lady, who was around 20 years old, had pilfered some of her dippity-doo slash hair booger mucus, for lack of a better term. You know the kind of goop Al Sharpton is noted for slathering on his pinhead? Well, the shiny, greasy-haired look is all the rage down here, you know? Which I'm sure it is in certain low-end communities in the States. Anyway, it turns out her cleaning lady had taken a sandwich bag and loaded it up with that gel goop. Now the boss's hand was in it because the plastic bag had exploded in the maid's purse. So then what'd she do? Did she yell at her? Did she fire her? Nope, she just laughed. And the following week had some cameras installed.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.